Hello and welcome to the programme. Today is International Women's Day. For over 100 years, countries all around the world have recognised March the 8th as a day to celebrate women's achievements, contribution, advancement and history, and to recognise continuing campaigns for gender equality. The following programme isn't a campaign. It's not meant to highlight a particular issue or present a specific viewpoint. It's all about starting the conversation. Inspired by the Listening Project on Radio 4, the following programme brings you conversations all about women. Over a cup of tea, biscuits, and the odd glass of wine, lots of very different people got talking. The first of our four conversations is between two women who never met before. You're about to hear Lottie and Merva. Mother, a mature student Lottie, is studying social work, whereas Merva is an international student from Finland who's studying journalism.
Since it's an International Women's Day, I mean, obviously I'm from Finland, so okay. I think we definitely have the same kind of thing. Yeah, I think it's a good concept, though. I think it's definitely something that's needed, because nowadays the society is still kind of, even though we are pretty equal, at least in the UK and in Finland, I think there's still stuff to be done, and I think it's a good reminder to like people that, hey, women do exist, and you know, they do amazing things all the time, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I was thinking about that and how, yeah, we might not need it in Britain, we might not need a Women's Day, but actually let's remind the British people that there are women in other countries who aren't as lucky as we are. So yeah, it is only one day, but it's one day to take the opportunity to remind people that there are still women that aren't as lucky as us. Because that's another like interesting thing, isn't it, catcalling? Mm. In, you know, wherever you are, I'm sure every woman's probably experienced it in one way or another, and yet how many men could you talk to that experienced that? And on a night out, I'm sure we've all been grabbed in some way or another by a man. Mm. That's it. So it's difficult, isn't it? And then you get that, oh, why are you being so miserable? Don't you like my mate? Or
I always feel like I want to just tell them, like, well, I'm coming from a funeral, so like, just tell them something. Make them feel guilty.
Yeah.
I'm not going to smile. This is my face.
But it's that thing, isn't it? I went out after I'd had my son, I went out for my first night out, and a guy came up to me and he was like, oh, he was trying to crack on to me. And I was like, oh, no, I've got a boyfriend at home. Oh, he doesn't matter, rah, rah, rah. And I was like, I had a baby like 4 weeks ago. I'm out with my friend to have a good time. No, you never had a baby 4 weeks ago. Yeah, I did. Can you, like, I have a boyfriend at home who's looking after the baby. I kept going and kept going. And you just sort of think, like, I'm not a challenge. And at what point does that become anti-feminist? Like, you know, like discussing feminism and sticking up for yourself and talking about patriarchal societies, and why do men think that's okay? And I'm sure a lot of men that would listen to this would be like, oh, women do that too, rah, rah, rah. But like, again, it's that emotion thing, isn't it, that men don't come forward and say that so much, mm-hmm. because again, like, oh, you're wimp, rah, rah. It's a real tough subject, and I guess it needs to be discussed with men in the room, that kind of element of things.
I think it was a really good point that you said about like talking with the men in the room, basically. Mm. I remember when I started going out with my boyfriend, he was saying like, oh yeah, like, you know, I just love taking like walks after dark, like, you know, when there's no people around, like, don't you? I'm like, not really, no, like, that's not really a thing I've ever done. And he's like, why not? I'm like, well, there's a couple of reasons, and he just hadn't even thought about it.
That's what's so lovely, isn't it, though, is that he's clearly not the kind of guy that would ever consider it.
Yeah.
I mean, I know, hopefully we all know. No, not many would, but it's that, yeah, it's hard, isn't it? You're taught from a young age that you are a vulnerable person, and you shouldn't, there's things you shouldn't do after dark, or you know go to certain places after dark. But I was just gonna say, like, with the catcalling as well, how many men feel pressured to do it because of their job or because all their friends are, sort of thing, you know, like, how many of them actually want to? Is it like a couple of guys that do it and then the rest of the building site has to, for, you know, how many of them actually care enough to do it? Are they, you know, they must be bored. But and yet, why should we have to discuss it? Why should it even be brought up, even today, by us? Like,
it's a shame that a conversation between, like, based on, like, oh, our lives as women will obviously go to
the vulnerability.
Yeah, everyone is going to have those kind of experiences. Like, I don't want to like connect with my friends based on how many times we've been groped. And I'm like, it's such a shame.
I really enjoy talking to Merva and Lottie, two women from very different walks of life with plenty to share and reflect on. Now, from total strangers meeting over coffee to girls' night, what you're about to hear is a very diverse group of master's students. Not one woman in the following conversation comes from the same country. Lisa's from Germany, Joanna from Poland, Anna from Canada, Elisa from Spain, me from Vietnam, Julia from Austria, and Rebecca from the USA, all gathered together in a flat in Winton for wine, nibbles, and a chat.
Am I going to move there permanently? Am I just going there for a little while? Yeah. Like, do I set up shop here? Where do I put my stuff? Do I keep it in Canada? Do I keep it in England? Like, yeah. Do I date? Like, do I... It's just like... Oi.
Yeah, and then there comes this thing whenever I'm on Facebook right now, I see my friends getting married or having children.
Oh my god!
So many! Stuff like that. That's
yeah.
Interesting.
Look at that. It's like, which something is going on. I mean, what is going
their
on?
They're so cute! They just bought a house. Like,
but is there any pressure
a house
to get married and have kids?
No, not at all.
No,
not
at all.
No,
not
for me.
Right
the thing
now.
Is, maybe it's different in the West and the East, but in the East, people, there's
the
idea of being
poor.
That's because like, we are dependent to like, not me in that we, but basically the women in the West, in the East, like, are more dependent to their husband. That is why they would always end up like getting married at early age, even, no matter what whether they want or not. So. There's a lot more pressure to my fellow women at home, not me, because I'm different.
Yeah.
And I also have zero pressure from my mom and dad, who are the one that means the most to me. So, like, I was surrounded by lots of people, like my mom's colleague, who I know nothing about, and then my colleague, and then my friend, blah, blah, they always like, when are you gonna get married? I don't care. But yeah, at home people get a lot of pressure on getting married just because of the idea that they have to be dependent on their husband.
Mm. Yeah.
I think I'm the only one that puts, I don't even put pressure on myself, but I don't think anybody else is like, when is Anna getting married?
Yeah,
I'm just sort of like, should
I
be dating?
Because
right now I'm having trouble sitting on the floor for a really long time. And I'm like, am I getting old? My knees are
As international students, do you find like, I shouldn't, like, if I meet someone here, like, it's going to be an issue, because then maybe I have to go home, and do you find it sort of is a bit...
Yeah, that's what's been keeping them away.
I have to say something about that, because
keeping
them
away for 2 years.
At home, not just at home, but in the years, generally, there's a really common idea of you should get married to a Western guy. It's somehow, you can change your life, you can go to the West, you can immigrate and blah blah, you're gonna have a better life. And everyone, when I told people that I'm gonna go to England to study, and immediately one of the most thing that people ask about, are you gonna date a Western guy? And like, no. That's the idea. Everyone was like, oh, you're gonna come to the West, you're gonna date someone, and you will meet a Western guy, and you get married, and you become like a UK citizen. No, that's not like, it's not
like
something that I pictured
wow.
in my mind. But it's really common. Like in the East, people would automatically think that whenever someone goes to the West, he or she might want to change their life, like to escape from the traditional, you know, Eastern thoughts and stuff. And they would ask me, oh, did you find anyone yet? And I'm like, that's not what I'm planning to find.
I don't have that pressure about marrying and having kids, but I know you in Spain, classic style, like you have to marry someone, have children, and a lot of them. And then, you know, women is only a housewife, and men are the workers. And you know, my parents are so free, how do you say?
Like free thinking.
Yeah, free thinking. But they have this cultural thing that you have at some point have something to attach to, like you have to marry, or not marry, but have some children that you can give me as a grandmother, you know? And they don't say to me anything, they don't press me, because I'm all the time like, mom, don't expect me to marry, because I'm not gonna do that. And I'm always saying to her things like, what if I have a wife and not a husband? And she's like, I want children, you know? Like, I feel kind of a pressure. I feel that pressure that if I don't give my parents children, they are not gonna die, like, satisfy in that way, because they have that culture. It's not because they are pressing me, but
But yeah. Maybe that's the same here as well. Like, so sometimes the grandparents just want some grandchildren, and that's the idea. They feel lonely when they retire and need someone to take care about it.
Yeah.
But you know, I for me it's like the idea of getting married and then having children. It should only happen when you're ready for it. It's just not when someone's pressure.
Yeah,
because there's so many girls around my age that get married, but they still want to hang out and, you know, still want to have fun. But then they have someone to like be responsible for. I think women should only have children when they are totally ready for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, there's a problem of it. I don't know. Like, I want to have 4 kids, for example. And I,
four.
I,
how
yeah.
can you decide that now?
I
mean, it's
I do want to
have
a big family.
I want
4
kids.
I have
2
brothers.
My little sister,
but no,
this was like
not
a year ago now,
but
she called me one day.
The
she was like, Anna, you're
22.
Oh, yes, like, she goes, okay, so say you meet someone today. Today. You gotta date them for a couple of years, 23, 24. Then you might get engaged, and then you might be engaged for another 2 years, 25, 26. You get married, you wanna be newlyweds for a little while, you got 2 years there. You only have like a 4-year radius to have kids. You gotta meet someone now. She's like, if you wanna have kids, like, you gotta meet someone. Like,
but
you're
that is what I'm
on a timeline.
Like, we do kind of have pressure, because, like, you can't have kids that late. So you actually kind of have to meet someone now, and it's so scary.
But now it's up to 4.
That conversation was from the female master students of Oakford House, setting the world to rights on a Friday night. It may be International Women's Day, but it's time to give the guys a look in. I've invited some of my male friends to join in on the conversation. Again, we're going very international. The next chat is between Dwayne from Jamaica, Vitali from Russia, Danilo from Brazil, Matteo from Italy, and Nathaniel from the UK, who discuss, amongst other things, breastfeeding and gender roles.
Why do women need
to start with International Women's Day?
You've got your birthday, Mother's Day, Valentine's Day, Christmas, my birthday. I mean,
so do you think it's unnecessary?
I don't know anyone that celebrates it, but I feel like most holidays
it's just virtue
something for women,
isn't it, really?
No, we actually do celebrate it. Like, it's a big thing in Russia.
In Russia?
Yeah.
Well, International Women's Day.
Yeah. We buy our women presents and give them flowers, which actually gain a lot in price.
So Valentine's
Day. No,
yeah.
Valentine's Day is more than for young people.
You celebrate International Women's Day
yeah.
as a thing.
Yeah, it's a huge thing.
Since when?
I'm not really sure, but I guess
I've literally never heard of that.
So what's the difference between International Women's Day and Valentine's Day?
Because for Valentine's Day, my dad doesn't give my mom anything, but for the day of the March, he has to.
What happened is that the world is becoming way too sensitive now. Did you guys see the new Barbie line?
Mm.
Where the Barbies now have different shapes to match your daughter's style.
Do you see what I mean? Like, all of these movements, like feminism and all these kinds, feminism is not even really the worst, it's very vocal at the moment, but they're all divisive. All of them are dividing society down into atomistic principles, so we're all atomized individuals, like Durkheim says. And so the real winner in that, actually, as with most things in the modern world, is big business. You know, you've got the Virgin, did you see that in the cinema recently, the Virgin advert?
Mm.
Where the ginger girls go, it's constantly selling stuff.
That's just looking at the business perspective. Like,
yeah,
about the women, how do you think they're feeling?
Sorry, what would you mean?
As in, like, how do the women react to, like, say, the new Barbie line, or the, just the Google's or Microsoft's approach to advertising?
Yeah, but then there's always these contradictions. It's like with the campaign to have breastfeeding in public, then they wanted to shut down Page 3.
That is not the same thing.
No, but you either want breasts on show or you don't want them, which it's bizarre.
That's such a... You can't compare breastfeeding in public to Page 3.
Yeah,
that's definitely not the same thing.
Well, it's still nudity. I mean, yes, it should be a normal, everyday, healthy thing for a mother to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's like... Oh, I mean, it's like the most earthy, basic thing for a mother to be doing. But it shouldn't necessarily just be flaunted. It does, on the face of it, bear some level of contradiction. I mean, you're saying they're not the same, but I don't.
One
they,
is sexual and one is normal.
What makes it sexual?
In the middle of the street,
the guy's just looking at her because she's got her breasts out. that just makes it the same scenario. You're only saying that because there's a different action in the picture there.
What do you suggest if a mother has to feed her child in public? What's she
going
to do? Not feed your child?
They're usually baby change rooms and stuff like that.
And if there isn't?
What's there?
If there isn't. On a square or something like that. There is no changing.
There are always places one can go. Well, you can express milk, can't you, anyway, into bottles and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's not...
When my nephews
were
younger, what my sister would do, she would usually have a cloth kind of on her breast. You wouldn't actually see her breast, but I don't see what the problem is either.
Me
just
neither.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's the difference between seeing and not seeing, isn't it?
I mean, I think it's just something natural. Like, I don't see nothing bad if I see a woman. Like, you don't look at nudity. You don't look at someone in order to see something if she has a baby.
That's a true issue, actually.
You see it with different eyes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something that has to be, like, I don't see nothing bad in it.
There's nothing sexual about
it. Exactly. It's just, it's natural. I mean... But in some cases where you don't have your space or it's an emergency, I really don't see anything bad about it. I think if some people see it as a problem, then that's a cultural issue. It shouldn't be a woman issue. It's men that should adapt to the woman's needs, not the other way around.
If your wife was a higher earner, if she was the one that brought in the most money into the family, would that be weird?
Yes. I'm very conservative about that.
Yeah,
because I feel like it's my responsibility as a man to be, you know, the keeper.
Yeah.
You know?
Why is that?
I don't know.
I would agree with that mostly, but a little part of me would just be like, yes,
so good to get in this
movies.
I mean, movies. I don't know. It's sort of maybe natural instinct to bring money home.
Yeah, I think it's a completely natural thing to want to provide for your family.
Yeah. And to want to be able to provide.
Yeah, but why would you feel bad if you earn less than your wife?
I would feel bad.
Why is it natural for the men to make more than...
It's kind of a tradition, like, a man has to work to provide for the family. So if that would have happened, I mean, I don't know, I wouldn't feel good about it.
But I'll be honest with you, I'm completely against the idea of housewives. I just think she shouldn't just be at home just using what I've been working so hard to get. So she has her thing as well.
But
so
then if
we're
she's,
making together.
If she's a housewife, she's all... In the traditional sense, she'll be cleaning, cooking,
yeah.
Looking
the house
cute.
Cannot be that dirty.
Okay.
You would be done by Monday, and you have nothing to do for the rest of the week except that.
I grew up with two younger brothers, one brother and a sister, so I actually could see what it means for a woman like to stay after the kids, homework, and all that stuff. So. For me, working and maybe my wife just staying after the kids, staying after the house, I mean, I see that as a kind of work too, so it wouldn't really matter.
It's not even just a kind of work. To me, it's like, someone would say that a housewife is something narrow. That's completely, they got it completely the wrong way around. If a woman goes out to work, she's one thing, she's that job to everyone. If she stays at the home, she's everything to someone or to some people, her children. To argue that one thing is narrow, one thing is broad and open, you know, is just ridiculous. And but the irony of that is that women, generally speaking, make much more conscientious workers than men.
I mean, here's my issue with housewives is that the kids aren't going to be home all day. They have school.
They have friends.
They're gonna leave, right? Most of the time, the women are just spent at home by themselves. I don't think that should be a thing. I think you should go out, socialize with other people, and make something of yourself, than just staying home and serving me, technically.
My sister is pretty much a housewife nowadays, and I can guarantee you that she feels perfectly fulfilled with her life.
Well, that depends. Some women are just made for it. Some aren't.
Yeah, I mean, it's just... Honestly, it's up to the woman.
Exactly.
If she feels comfortable being a housewife.
That's very... It is up to the woman.
Up to her.
We're going to leave the boys there. You can hear more from their chat on the Birth website. Now, to finish the programme, we're going to hear from Leonie, Mia and Claire, not her real name, talking about Bournemouth University Feminism Society and why they felt the need to set it up.
It was like the first week, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think we discovered at Freshers' Fair that there wasn't one, and we were like, this needs to change, so we set one up straight away. Yeah. I said to somebody once, he was like, oh, I believe that women should be equal, but they shouldn't be the same as men. And then I said, well, do you know what feminism means? And we read out the Oxford Dictionary definition. And after I read it out, he looked at me and he went, yeah, they got it wrong. That's not what it is. And it was like, that was literally the definition. But he told me, it was one of the guys, we did some filming, asking BU students what they thought of feminism. And like basically, are they feminist and why and why not? But he was just like, oh yeah, that's wrong.
People, like, I think boys have a problem with it because it's called feminism.
Yeah,
feminine.
I think the name doesn't really help it.
It's called that because we were the oppressed gender in the first place, and that's why it came about.
But I think
it doesn't mean it's just for women.
That's the whole issue with feminism, that people don't want to call themselves feminist because it has, like, section femin.
Yeah.
Like, that is an issue in itself.
Yeah, that is an issue because they don't want to be seen as a feminist if they're a man, because feminine on a man is seen as a negative thing.
But
why?
Even women, we've kind of met somebody at a club once. We were like, oh, join our society. We just kind of set it up and we're really excited. And she was like, oh, I would, but I don't believe in feminism. I'm like, I like believe in equality.
She goes, I'm an equalitarian.
So
that's what she said.
People just make up certain names.
You made that
and they mean feminism. Or people have the views that, like, are the same as feminism. But they just hate calling themselves feminists because it's just like, it's got so many negative connotations.
Yeah,
which is, I think that's one of the things we wanted to kind of diminish when we started the society, like try and get, even if it's just in our community, try and get that like view. Like,
we want to stand up for equality with men and things for males as well. Like,
yeah, I think, because it's stigma, quite a lot of people will probably think like, oh, I don't want to join that. Like most of the people who are coming to our social who've like confirmed are women. But I think that's something just to work on, really. We made posters a while ago to try and kind of publicise it, and we made sure that they were all, like, we did pink and blue on them, so they were kind of, like, both colours.
And we had all of the celebrity feminists,
we
had, and there was, like, half men, half women or something.
Yeah, I made sure there was, like, loads of different ethnicities, loads of different genders, and transgender people and sexualities and everything like that. So it was really diverse, so it showed, like, anybody can be. And they had like quotes from, one was Iggy Pop, one was Beyonce, and then we had just stuff like that said, why is feminism seen as a dirty word but equality isn't? They mean the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So just things like that, trying to get people to realise that it's not just for women, which is, it's quite hard to do because it's got such a negative, like people just think it's just angry women, which is really annoying.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrible that it's still seen as a radical idea, and it's not. It shouldn't be. It should like, it's crazy that we're still dealing with issues that we've dealt with for so long, and like, yeah, we've got the vote and stuff now, but it's still not where it should be. And I think people who say like we don't need it, like they kind of need to look outwards from their life, because sometimes like if you're like a cisgender white female who's, you know, in a middle class family, has a good job, then you might not need feminism because for you, you don't. But if you look to like developing countries and like the wider world, I think that's when you see the issues that do need tackling with feminism. And I think that when people are just trapped in their own little bubble and think, well, I don't need it, that's really selfish, and they need to think like about other women and like what other women are going through. So I think that's why we try and be as intersectional with our feminism as possible. My mum always kind of said to me, like, never depend on anyone else, you're kind of your own person, and made sure that I was, like, I saw myself as an individual, and I was very kind of, like, I just didn't need anyone else telling me what to do, and I was very kind of, just stand out on my own kind of thing. So I guess I kind of thought, made sure my voice is heard and stuff, so I guess I kind of wanted to do that. And I'm being female, I have, like, had times where guys have said stuff to me and things, and that I've kind of thought like, oh, that's not right, I didn't like that. So my mum spoke about feminism when I was younger too, so I guess from her I kind of got the idea that that's something that I should be interested in, I should be looking at and be active in women's rights. I'm the president, so I guess I'm kind of make sure that I really know what's going on, because I have dyspraxia, so that's a really big thing for boys. The statistics are that there's 4 boys to every 1 girl. And I wasn't discovered until I got to uni, so stuff like that is like, boys get diagnosed really early because boys are seen as naughty when they have it, whereas girls are seen as weird. So I've always been seen as weird, but I never knew why, and now I do. That kind of thing really interests me because I want to kind of make sure that girls aren't slipping through the net, are there getting the help that they need and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really important. But I think there's quite a mixed bag of views. Like, some people think it's needed, some people think it's really great.
It's kind of one way extreme or extreme the other way. Like Marmite. Or this boy from our school tweeted.
Oh my gosh.
Saying,
I can't find the tweet. Should I find the tweet?
He deleted it because of
the... But we took screenshots.
Yeah.
He said, you hear women wanting another child, but you don't hear us asking for a kick in the nuts. Childbirth ain't that bad. And then we were like, no.
Our tweets got like 17 favourites on them, like our replies. And then he deleted the tweet and his friend replied to him.
He put, the one time I tweeted something I thought was funny, people think I'm being serious, but it didn't sound jokey.
Yeah, his friend replied like, the local feminists will want your blood. And then the first one said they're on the hunt.
They know how to annoy feminists, because they can just be like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And you kind of are sometimes a bit worried about saying that you're a feminist in case they have a certain view of you straight away, like make a snap judgment. So, like, I was just speaking to someone the other day, and I said I was a member of the Feminist Society. I didn't say I was the president, because I thought that might seem a little bit, like, intimidating that I was, like, the president of it, because they might think, like, I'm really, like, radical and no bras, no shaving, all the stuff of things. But, yeah, it's kind of frustrating that even I worry about people's opinions of me just for saying that I'm a feminist. I mean, I tell people, I'd never deny it, but at the same time, like, if you're speaking to somebody and you say, like, oh, I'm the president of a feminist society, they're probably going to be a bit like, whoa, like, that's still seems radical.
Yeah, people just don't think it's necessary anymore, so they think we're carrying on, like, an unnecessary thing just for the sake of it.
It would be good to do, like, debate kind of things. It gives you a chance to ask questions. Like, even I might have some questions that I think, like, feminism doesn't address, and I think I want to ask somebody this. And we can all just discuss it together. And I think that's kind of a helpful thing, because it just gets ideas going. And even if you don't agree, it's just an interesting thing to like find out what other people think. Like, and it'd be interesting to get people who believe in like other movements. Like, some people on campus have seen people wearing Mennonist jumpers, stuff like that. So it would be interesting getting people to talk like from that point of view and just open a conversation about stuff, really.
It was such a pleasure to meet these three girls who were so passionate about what they were doing. You just heard from the BU Fem Society Committee to finish off our International Women's Day conversations here on Burst. To hear more from all these chats, visit the Burst website at www.burstradio.co.uk. I hope you've enjoyed listening in and that you've had a very happy March the 8th.
It's been really interesting, like, in the talking with you guys. Yeah. I love it, like, when you get to meet new people and just...
I hope so. And just start the week.
It's just nice to have a good conversation, isn't it?
It really
is. Because sometimes you don't get the chance so much.
The International Women's Day Conversations featured students from Bournemouth University and was produced and presented by Olivia Beasley. You can hear more from our conversation on the Burst website.